One of the things that Christians often say is that we seek to model our lives upon the example of Jesus and his teachings. And when we turn to the New Testament, one of the things that stands out very clearly there about Jesus is just how central prayer was in his life. And that is particularly the case when he was facing times of struggle or when significant decisions needed to be made. So let's have a look for a while at the place of prayer in some of the more significant moments in the life of Jesus. And we begin with his baptism by John in the River Jordan. On that occasion, we read how the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and the Father bore witness to his Son, saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, in Luke's account of Jesus' baptism, he records for us that it was something that took place as Jesus was praying. So we see right from the outset, prayer is central in Jesus' ministry. The very next thing that happens in Jesus' life after his baptism by John is he goes out in the wilderness where he experiences a series of very powerful temptations. Now, as we read the accounts of those temptations, although prayer is not explicitly mentioned, it was clearly a time of deep spiritual struggle for Jesus. And in that struggle, he reaches out to his Heavenly Father. His experience at this time and on later occasions, I think, is well summed up in the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 5, where the writer says, "During the days of his life on earth, Jesus offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission." A bit later, we have Jesus' transfiguration, when he goes up on the mountain with the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and his appearance is transfigured before them. And we're told in Luke's account of that incident, there was something that happened as Jesus was praying. Move forward in time to the Last Supper. We find Jesus at prayer with his disciples and for his disciples. And as he prayed for his disciples, his prayer was not that the Father would take them out of the world, but that he would protect them from the evil one. And that he would not only protect them, but he would sanctify them or make them holy in the truth of his word. So Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prayed not only for those who were the disciples there and then, he also prayed for those who were going to come afterwards. And if we're followers of Jesus, that includes you and me today. And his prayer was that we might all be one, just as the Father is in the Son, that we might be united in one another, so that the world might believe. Jesus prayed all who would follow him. And after he had shared the Last Supper with his disciples and prayed for them, he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he faces the reality of his impending suffering and death. And there in the garden, he prays fervently, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And he commits himself to the Father's will. He goes out to the cross, and on the cross we read of three prayers that Jesus offered. The first prayer was for those who were responsible for his crucifixion. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." See, in the fullness of his humanity, as he suffers on the cross, Jesus has to come to terms with his own feelings as he bears the sin of the world in his body on the cross. And so he cries out to God a prayer, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then in the closing moments of his life, as he entrusts himself to his Heavenly Father, Jesus prays, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." I think it'd be almost impossible to read the New Testament Gospels and not see how important prayer was in the life of Jesus. Prayer for Jesus was about communing with his Heavenly Father and communing with him even in the darkest moments of his life. It was about experiencing the reality of his power and presence in his life. It was about reaching out in compassion to those who were in need. It was about praying for the holiness and unity of his followers, and even about praying for his enemies, those who would cause him harm. What a great example we have in Jesus. And we are called to follow in his footsteps. Well, today's Bible reading, we heard from Mark's Gospel, Jesus goes up on a mountain and he chooses from among his disciples 12 to be apostles, people who are going to be with him and to whom he would give the authority to go about continuing and extending his ministry. Luke's Gospel gives us the fullest account of this incident, and in doing so, he highlights the role of prayer in Jesus' choosing of the 12. Luke chapter 6, he went up to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. This was a really important decision Jesus was making. This was no time for a quick arrow prayer. Make sure I get it right, Lord. He spent the whole night in prayer as he contemplated the decision, asking for God's guidance. Now here at Wellspring, we're about to enter a time of major transition. In the next little while, there are decisions to be made, important ones. And those decisions are ones that need to be firmly undergirded by prayer, as we look to God by his Spirit to guide us. We're calling the church to a season of prayer as we seek his direction in our life as a church community, as we look to the future. And our prayer is at this time that God will guide us, that he will grow in us the gifts and fruit of his Spirit. He will give us godly leaders and he will deepen our life with Jesus. You'll be receiving more information about this season of prayer and fasting later. But as we do prepare to go into this time, I just want to encourage you to make the season a priority in your life, and to do so remembering just how important prayer was in the life of Jesus. When we talk about focused prayer, we're not asking that everybody spend a whole night in prayer like Jesus did, although some might choose to do that, and some might choose to go without food or other things in life that they enjoy as a way of becoming more focused on their praying. However you do it, we want you to be wholehearted in praying for the church at this time. And I think it's worth remembering, it wasn't just Jesus who had prayer at the centre of his life. So too did the early church. And when we look at the New Testament, the various letters that were written, and the story of the early church, the Acts of the Apostles, we see how central prayer was to them. They were a people who took seriously both the example of Jesus at prayer and the content of his teachings. I recently came across an article which listed the various references to prayer in the Acts of the Apostles. There are in total 16 of them. I'm not going to go through all 16, but let me just focus on some of them, which I think have something to say to us today. And it starts right at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1. As the disciples of Jesus are waiting for the promised Holy Spirit to come, we read that they all join together constantly in prayer. When the Holy Spirit did come and empower them, and as they began to proclaim the gospel, at the end of chapter 2 of the Acts of the Apostles, there's this lovely summary of what life was like for the first Christian community. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. And they prayed when important decisions had to be made. Back at Acts chapter 1, when they had to choose a new disciple to take the place of Judas Iscariot, who had betrayed Jesus, they got down to a short list of two. And they couldn't decide between them. And they prayed. And their prayer was, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. And that's the sort of prayer that our nomination committee, looking to appoint a new senior pastor, will need to make in the future. Lord, show us which person you have chosen. And let our prayer for them be that God will guide them, that the Lord will indeed show them the person he is calling to be our next senior minister here at Wellspring. I think the book of Acts is a wonderful window into the life of the early church at prayer. We see that they prayed for boldness and courage to proclaim Jesus and to do so even in the face of quite serious opposition. They prayed for people and miracles of conversion and healing took place, things that were signs of God's kingdom breaking into the present order and into people's lives. They prayed about their prejudices, that God would break through their prejudices and enable them to proclaim the good news of Jesus to all whom he is calling to himself. There's a lovely story in Acts chapter 20 where Paul is leaving the Ephesian church leaders and he prays for them. And in Acts 13, we read that the church at Antioch was gathered for worship. God spoke to them and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. I think it's significant that the whole church was actively involved in the process. Some may have been making this decision, but everybody was praying. And a sign of their commitment to prayer and how seriously they were taking was their willingness to fast, to deny themselves some of the pleasures of life for a season so that they might be more focused on praying. We're going to hear a little bit more about fasting and praying later on in the service. It's not just this one occasion we read of them fasting and praying. We read it in as Paul and Barnabas' second mission journey comes to a close. It comes to close with this statement, a summary statement. After strengthening and encouraging the whole church, they appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. So today, as we at Wellspring prepare to enter a season of major transition, we have before us the example of Jesus and the centrality of prayer in his life and ministry. And we have before us the important place that prayer played in the lives of those who were the first followers of Jesus in their community life as well. And in light of the example of Jesus, of the first Christians, I want to encourage us at this time to be people who recognise our dependence upon God by coming together in prayer, earnestly praying for our Wellspring community as we prepare to enter a new season of our life with Jesus. Let us pray. Remember, Lord, the words of Jesus, I am the vine, you are the branches, apart from me, you can do nothing. Father, we acknowledge our dependence upon you in all of life, especially this time as a church community. We acknowledge our need of your guidance, your grace, to guide us through the season ahead. Lord, stir within us a desire to pray and pray fervently, that your kingdom may be built up among us and your gospel may be faithfully proclaimed more and more in the season ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.